Hi everyone, I'm Heidi Rogers, and this is Tell the Others. I wanted to create a place for meaningful conversation, life lessons, and parenting hacks. Sometimes I chat to interesting people, sometimes I answer questions about parenting or life stuff, and sometimes I just rant. These episodes are filled with stories and insights that made me say, ugh, I just have to tell the others. So let's dive in to hear what we can learn today.
Ways to get our child to participate more in household tasks. Now, we're talking about a six-year-old, but honestly, I will answer this question the exact same way that I would 6, 10, 15, 2. I have the same answer for this. So try to put the age to the side, okay? 6, 16, doesn't matter. And I want you to listen how transferable this question is across the lifespan. I have parents who've asked probably almost an identical question about their 16-year-old. She's very smart and capable. We want her feeling proud of herself and having some small responsibilities. She likes novel and dangerous tasks. She has made a cup of tea for me a couple of times, but will often reach her limit and not be able to pick something up off the floor that she has dropped. Husband is keen on a rewards chart, but I, mom, think it wouldn't work. And I'm worried about having set expectations for specific jobs that will set her up to fail. I had a dream of having my child participate more in day-to-day tasks. Yes, girl, same. Like being happy to get her own breakfast sometimes or join me on a stool at the kitchen bench to chop something for dinner. But that has happened less and less over the last 3 years. She seems instead to like us doing everything for her, even when she's fully capable herself, e.g. wiping herself on the toilet. Is doing household tasks part of her feeling that she has autonomy? What have you tried? Asking directly for something, like bringing a dirty plate from the table to the dishwasher, or hanging out the small bits of washing. Also playing a song that she likes to get her moving to motivate her to empty the dishwasher with us. She will often refuse. At these times, it seems to me she is just really tired. Sometimes I will ask her to pick up something she has dropped on the floor and she'll ignore me. Then I cajole, then I say her name in a disappointed way. Is there anything else happening? Our daughter was separated from her birth mother at 6 weeks, then in a happy foster home and came to us at age 5.5 months old. So in summary, how can we realistically engage our daughter more in household tasks so that she feels a sense of satisfaction without setting her up to fail? Assessment diagnosis, psych, cognitive, and behavioral assessment, June 23, no diagnoses, but some characteristics of ADHD, no medication. I love this question. This is so classic. This is such a classic parenting fantasy. The line that mom says, I had a dream of having my child participate more in day-to-day tasks, like being happy to get her own breakfast. Yes, girl, I know. Totally with you. We all had that same fantasy. And especially for those of us that have a spicy, that did not happen. Okay, chores. So I like to call them family contributions. Why? We got to reframe it in our own mind when we talk about it as chores. One, ew, doesn't sound nice. I don't want to do chores. Contribute to my family, help my family. That makes me feel a bit different, feel a bit more pumped on doing that. I wish sometimes that we all could just go to an alternate universe where we had 5 kids and we could see the difference in 5 different temperaments, 5 different brains, 5 different bodies. Know that they were all raised by the same parents, but to see how different kids are. Because a lot of times parents think that having a kid who doesn't help with chores or doesn't want to do stuff is some sort of moral failing on the parents' part or something's wrong with the kid or, you know, whatever. But what any of you know that have multiple kids, there is often one who loves cleaning and helping and being the dutiful, obedient little helper. And then there's often one who does not give a shit and is happy to lose TV, iPad, whatever, because that's how much they don't want to help clean up. Or have the kid who doesn't mind getting an IKEA bag and just dumping everything in there and saying, I cleaned up. It has less to do with the parenting, I believe, in this domain, and more to do with the wiring of the kid and the human and what they prioritize, what they don't, what's important to them, what's not. And what is so great that she nails is in the "What have you tried?" question. I'll ask her to pick something up that she's dropped. She'll ignore me. I cajole her, and then I'll say her name in a disappointed way. Exactly. That's exactly what all of us do. You are not alone. When we ask them to help out, do something, can you hand me that? Can you get that for your sibling? Can you wipe that up? Whatever. What ends up happening is we start threatening the connection. We start getting pissed off because we tell ourselves a story that they're disrespectful, ungrateful, spoiled, gonna grow up to live in a hovel because they never clean up after themselves, have no friends, have no partner because who would want to live with them in this filth? We go down this crazy rabbit hole of stories and tell ourselves all these stories about how this child at whatever age, not cleaning up means they're destined for a life of, horribleness. It's not true. Again, where do we start? Any kind of question? How would my family have responded to this growing up? So I would be asking you guys, what was the role of chores in your house growing up? What would happen if I didn't do them? And I'm already gauging from the question that both you and dad had lots of chores and it was important in your families because it's part of your fantasy and thing that you thought would happen because maybe it happened in your house. But that was your childhood. And this kid's different. They're wired differently, a whole different set of circumstances than you did. So that's the first thing is what does this mean to me in relation in the context of my childhood? What is this about my stuff that's coming through? And then what is this about them and their temperament or their wiring and how they're made up? So when we look at the temperament wiring thing, ADHD brains, dude, it is hard to clean up for a lot of ADHD brains. I think there's a spectrum of every diagnosis and everything, obviously. No, I don't believe anything is black and white, but with ADHD and cleaning up, I think I've found a lot of clients, kids and adults, where there's kind of two kinds. There's this super anxious ADHD that is always on time and very tidy because it's actually fueled by anxiety, ADHD, but the undercurrent is this anxiety. And then the other kind of ADHD, which is more of a messy, late, all over the place kind of thing. Because ADHD can present in a lot of different ways, which a lot of people don't realize. They think it's, I don't know, like a lot of diagnoses, they think it's black and white and it's not. It's a whole spectrum kind of how it presents. And in boys and in girls, it's different. But one of the things for this type of ADHD, if we're going with the finds it hard to cleaning up is actually a lot of steps and requires a lot of executive function. And executive function is the part of the brain, like cortex. The part of the brain that's responsible for, I don't know, CEO type smart tasks, organizing, planning, productivity, time management, impulse control, emotional regulation, planning. Yeah. Cleaning up is actually a lot of those, takes a lot of executive function. I have to pick up stapler and I have to go stapler. Stapler goes in the drawer with other office supply items. Ah, okay. Randomly, I don't know why, but safety pins are here. Safety pins, those do not go in the stapler drawer. Safety pins, that would be in more like the sewing. Where's the sewing section? Don't know where that is. If everything in our house was a file, like as in like a manila folder, like in a filing cabinet, I think it would be a lot easier for kids to clean up if everything was just, if it was that simple. Safety pins go in this folder, staplers go in this folder. It would be a lot more doable. You just find the item, see what it's called, and then you put it in that specific spot, right? But for most of us, you can't run a house like that. I mean, it'd be super rad to be that organized, but it's not likely that you're going to have a folder for everything. You might have the stationery, right? But then do you see my brain has to look at the stapler and go, stapler, stationery. Where's the stationery box? Oh, there it is. Put it in there. I know that sounds very simple, but that's a lot of steps. That's actually identifying that this is a stapler, remembering where the stapler box or the stationery box is, finding it, walking to it, putting it in there. That's a lot of steps. And if there's anything that the ADHD brain hates, it's a lot of steps. Too hard, too many steps, can't do it. I'm out. So this is more of a issue around how her brain is wired, and that what she's being very clear in showing me is that this is actually really hard for her, getting her own breakfast. Again, too many steps. Walk to the pantry. Where is the cereal kept? I can't remember. And this is a, I don't want to say argument, but an argument I have with parents a lot where they will say, how can they not remember that the cereal is there? That's where it's always been. And I know this because of so many adults that I've worked with that will tell me, I can't remember that that's where the cereal is. I can't remember that that's, I think like the bread is in that vicinity, but I can't remember where it is. It's really annoying. I hate that I can't remember that. And their partner will be like, how do you not remember that? And they're like, I don't know, but I don't. Again, why would you choose that? Why would you choose that? That's not nice. That's not a nice feeling to not remember things. So I think what's more helpful is reminding yourself that she's not choosing to be this way. Kids want to be autonomous. Kids want to be independent. Kids want to do stuff for themselves if they can. If something feels too overwhelming, that's where they go, you do it. I don't want to do it. If you were building a house, if you're not a builder, you're not an architect, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You go, it's too hard. I get someone to do it. You do it, builder. You do it. I'll pay you. You do it. When your kid has that vibe with you, you do it. Swap all of the other stories that you're telling yourself about they're lazy and disrespectful to something is too hard about this. You can still do the ask of, can you just put your bowl in the sink? Thank you. You know, you could still try, ask, say what you want them to do. Can you help me set the table? Can you help me cut the tomatoes? And they can grumble and whatever. Last night we were having tacos, and I said, and we were sort of late to starting preparing dinner. And my spicy, how old is she? 8-year-old, is the same as this kid, does not like helping clean up, wants nothing to do with it. Taking a cup to the sink is like, you know, I've asked her to chop her legs off. It's very, very hard to get her to do that sort of stuff. Why? ADHD. And it's hard for her to do lots of different steps with things. But I said, here's the tomatoes, here's a chopping board, here's the knife, right? Because do you see how many steps if I had said to her, can you just chop the tomatoes? That would have been too hard. So I got her the supplies and said, can you just chop those? Because if I have to get the meat, you know, I have to get everything else ready. Can you just do that? Or actually, here's the avocado. I peeled the avocado, put it in the bowl, and gave her the masher and said, or you do the avocado. I don't care which one. And when your sister comes back, you know, downstairs, you can decide with her, but can you just do one of those? Grumble, 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 complain, complain, complain. And I just left it. I didn't nag or whatever. I just listened to her grumbling about it. And I just kept doing tortillas and doing the other stuff. And then, lo and behold, tomatoes were chopped. They weren't chopped in the, you know, perfect way my mother would have wanted, but they were great. And then she did the guacamole. And it's so sort of, I think sometimes like you can still ask. And there's other times where I've asked her to do that. And she's just flat out refused and not doing, you know, she's going to go do something else. But usually that's after a day of not having great connection and not having kind of, I don't know, feeling seen, feeling heard, that she's had those days where she's just flat out not doing it, not doing it as far as cooking sort of things. But I think maybe she likes cooking a little bit, but cleaning is different. That's more of a flat out, nope, not doing it. But What I've often found is there's tweaks that I can make that make it doable, which also is what shows me it has more to do with the way her brain is wired and the neurodivergent chip rather than she's choosing not to help or she's being disrespectful. Because when I've said to her, like, here's a laundry basket, everything that you see on the floor, or just everything that you see that you go, we don't have shoes on the couch, or art supplies on the middle of the floor or next to the TV. If you just, you know that that's not where it goes, just put it in the laundry basket. And that just helps because then I can take that laundry basket and I can go put it away, right? Like she's capable of doing that. And that then is how I can get her to clean. So she's contributing and she's helping me by cleaning, but it's not the whole way of like what I would want her to do. But then you look at like her sister when her sister was three. And she could have cleaned up, the living room better than her dad. She loves cleaning. She loves organizing. She knows where to put things and how to put things away. She's just wired differently. I didn't parent them differently in any bit. Nope, they're just wired differently. But I have this question a lot about chores and helping, or like they can't, they're allergic to putting their dishes in the sink or whatever. I think you can remind them in a playful way. Allow them to protest, allow them to complain, because everyone's allowed to complain. That's fine. Well, old school generation would say, don't you talk back to me and just don't grumble and don't complain about it. I don't like that though, because that to me encourages emotional repression and shoving your feelings down. I'd always rather you have your feelings out rather than in, and I'm going to train that into you young to do that. Anyway, and that starts with allowing things like complaining and ranting. And as far as getting her own breakfast and wiping herself and things, that also too, with the wiping herself or not wanting to wipe herself, sorry, not wanting to, can't. She can't wipe herself yet. That says to me even more so that we are looking at ADHD or some sort of neurodivergent thing going on in her gross motor, fine motor, hand-eye coordination. There's something going on that wiping, it's not about being lazy. It's about I actually find that action hard of this is what needs to happen. Toilet paper, how much toilet paper? How hard do you press to wipe? How do you know if you keep wiping? How do you know if you stop? Like so many steps. And I hear this a lot too. And it is not uncommon at all for neurodivergent kids to ask their parents to wipe them. 8, 9, 10, not uncommon at all. Not uncommon at all. But also, why would you choose that? Why would you choose that? You don't want to be asking parents for that at that age. I can't. I need your help, mom. I can't. Not, I won't. I want you to do it for me. That's not the energy it's coming from, dude. That's not the vibe. The vibe is, I can't. I don't know why I can't. It's all too hard. It overwhelms me. Can you help me? That's what's going on. And if she could articulate to you, Mom, making my breakfast is too many steps. It requires too much executive function that I don't yet have. Or chopping something for dinner, that's too many steps. That's really stressful for my brain. Could we instead play hangman and you are cooking and I sit at the bench and do hangman or Uno, like something that's fun and engaging for her that's joining you, or just watching or just stirring, asking her what she would like to do. Another reason too why sometimes kids don't want to help in the kitchen is because they get constantly corrected. Oh, no, not like that. You want to hold the knife this way, or you want to, and for spicy kids who are shame intolerant, that doesn't go over well because then they're like, well, super. I step in the kitchen and I step into a shame factory. No thanks. Because I never seem to chop it right, hold it right, cut it right. Burr, 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 burr. I always say, if you're going to get a kid to do chores, if you're going to get a kid to be in the kitchen, shut up. You give them minimal instruction. You have safety knives and things so they can't hurt themselves. And you say, there you go. Do you want me to teach you how to hold the knife? Do you want me to teach you how to hold the tomato? Yes or no? If they say yes, then you can show them. If you task a child with cleaning the bathroom and you give them the Windex and the rag to wipe the mirror, You don't go in there and go, oh, you missed a spot, or oh, the streaks, or oh, you just go, wow, amazing. And then if you need to touch it up, fine, but you do it when they don't see. Because this is another thing that often happens when you task a kid with the chore, they do it wrong or that's incomplete or whatever. And you can't have both. If you want them to build their confidence and interest in doing that sort of stuff, it's just great. Thank you so much. That was really helpful. And not picking it apart, which is what most of us do, unfortunately. Yeah. So is doing household tasks part of her feeling that she has autonomy? Yes, but when it's developmentally ready for her, right? Like a 1-year-old doesn't care about the autonomy of like making their own meal. No, they want you to make the meal for them because they can't, because they're one, right? It's not a need yet. And you'll know. She'll tell you, and but she might be 8 when she wants to start wiping herself. She might be 8 or 9 when she wants to help in the kitchen. Yeah. And I think a line that I highlighted, she's very smart and capable, and we want her feeling proud of herself and having some small responsibilities. You want her to be proud of herself, and you think that this is the pathway for her to be proud of herself. That's what you think for you. This is her. She's different. How she feels proud of herself might be building a Lego tower, might be how high she goes on the swing. Her being proud of herself might look completely different. Get on board. The younger, the better. Get on board. Follow her lead, what she's proud about. Agreed. I would love it if my kids were got their proud points the same way I would want them to. But they're different. They're different people. She might feel proud over spelling some big hard word. Follow her lead of what she feels proud about instead of trying to pretzel her into what you think she should be proud about. Ask her, what stuff do you like to do around the house? My daughter used to love vacuuming when she was younger. She'd put headphones on because it was too loud. And then she'd vacuum and she loved it. Ask her, what would you like to do? What stuff do you like to help with in the house? Do you want the squirt bottle and you do the windows? And then I guess for me, it's more like they're helping, they're doing something, or the get the laundry basket and just dump anything you can see in it. And just trusting, trust that theme again of just time. And in time, she'll work it out and she'll be able to wipe herself when she's able to wipe herself. You'll find out when she's maybe she's 9 when it happens, maybe she's 7, maybe she's 8. But later on, you'll find, oh, she's not calling me into the bathroom as much. Huh. The biggest gift you could give her, I think, is changing the story you're telling yourself. She's not choosing. She's not choosing. Cleaning up is hard, requires many steps that her brain doesn't have yet. Subtract 5. You know, the neurodivergent thing of 30%. You subtract 30% or roughly 3 to 5 years, and that gives you often the executive function age of a child. So she's 6, minus 3 is 3, minus 5 is 1. So she's between the ages of 1 and 3 in her capacity to clean up. And if you were cleaning up with a 1 to 3 year old, you would probably say, all right, let's put all the toys in the box. You know, you'd keep it very simple, like the laundry basket idea, and that she might be capable of doing. I think it's a big thing to just ask, and this is any age, what would you like to do? You know, I don't want to do stuff around the house either, but like this is the list, and you make all the lists from picking up the dog poo to doing the laundry, make a list of all the things that have to be done. Which one of these would you like to help with? And then if you're making dinner and she says, I'll do laundry, okay, you know, I can't help you with that, but if you want to set the table, or just put the plates out on the table. You know, sort of like you deconstruct and modify the task to whatever she finds capable. So set the table. Would you like to just put the plates on the table, or would you like to also do the knives and forks, or would you like to just pick out placemats or whatever? Give her choices about what she maybe wants to do with it. And if she does nothing, you go, cool. Do you want to do some sweeping? Do you want to do, what would you like to do? It helps. Or if she's artistic, you could say, would you like to draw a menu for everybody? So do you see what I'm saying? It's like getting her to help in a way that she is subscribed to and has autonomy about, and then quieting the voice in your head that's saying, she's disrespectful and lazy and just wants us to serve her. And I think that all the time too. Every parent thinks that. You're not weird for that. We all feel that when they don't want to help out. It's very frustrating. But it's more of just a trusting in time when she's capable, and maintaining connection. And in your summary question, how do we realistically engage our daughter more in household tasks so that she feels a sense of satisfaction without setting her up to fail? I mean, if I posed that question to you and she was one, and I said, I have a 1-year-old, how do you think we realistically engage my 1-year-old in household tasks so that she feels a sense of satisfaction without setting her up to fail? Do you see how you would be like, Heidi, she's one. You can't ask that question about a 1-year-old. Do you see what I mean? So this is why it's actually, this comes back to you shifting your expectations. And it's not a number. It's not like at this age, and please, Lord, do not Google, at 7, you should be doing these chores. No, that, no, it doesn't. That's like saying at 40, you should have a house and a holiday house, and you should have, no debt and 3 cars and a boat. Like, age, schmage, we're all in a different timeline. We've all had different life experiences. No, this is the kid I got. I love the kid in front of me. I'm not going to try to change her and make her be something different. What is she good at? What does she like doing? That's where I'm going to help her build a sense of satisfaction and not set her up to fail. I hate numbers. I hate spreadsheets. You put a spreadsheet and numbers in front of me, you're setting me up to fail because I hate it. My brain isn't good at it. I don't like it. It's a shamey place, math. But if math was a functional part of meals or, everyday life, and if my parents made me do math every day at the table, you can see how that's setting me up to fail, right? So it's getting to know your kid. It's allowing the kid in front of you to blossom and thrive and like peeling back the onion layers to see who they really are and encouraging them to be their real selves. That's the gig. Not trying to make her be what we want her to be when she's just not there yet. She's gonna clean up. She's gonna do the dishes. She's gonna vacuum one day. I don't know. She might be 20 though, 25 when that happens. But it's, she'll get there. It's more, I'm saying more about like what does bring her pride and satisfaction and doing that stuff with her and then scaffolding her around the skills that she's building. And I know that there's a reality to this of like, we need our kids to help out around the house. Yes. But what are those things that she likes to do or that she's good at naturally? And then building that up.
If you're a parent or a professional who works with children and you want my help in improving things with the kiddos in your life, or if you're simply a human being feeling kind of stuck and maybe kind of overwhelmed, my online programs have lots of resources, transformative content, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and a supportive community. If you want to learn more, just go to HeidiRogers.com. All right, friends, thank you as always for tuning in today. Our time is our most precious asset, so I truly appreciate you sharing your time with me. I'll see you right back here for the next episode of Tell the Others.